Amen. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. This is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I thank and praise God on tonight for each one of you. I'm going to have our devotion tonight. I'm going to read a scripture and pray. Shine on me, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me, shine on me, glory, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. Scripture will be coming from Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him and were enlightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. I have just read you from Psalms 34, down from the first down to the eighth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Now, Father, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace this evening, Lord, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come asking you today to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything in there that should not be, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind, Father. Lord, we come on today, Lord, asking you to bind the strong men, first of all. Father, bind every evil thing, Lord, that try to come against our radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. Then, Lord, I ask you on today to take control over the atmosphere, over this radio broadcast, over the frequencies, the radio frequencies. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to be in control and take control over the atmosphere right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to get us all on one accord on tonight, even the ones in radio land, Lord, get them on one accord tonight. In the name of Jesus, cover our minds and our thoughts in the shed blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, then, Lord, I ask you to let me decrease, that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost may increase and teach your people on tonight, Lord. You know I know nothing of myself, Lord. I know anything without you, Father, in the name of Jesus. So I lay my will down. I lay everything I know down, think I know, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit take control in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus, every man in end time, men in end time, women of war, global ministry, I ask you to bless each one of them. Bless Apostle Dean in his absence, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just give you praise. We give you glory on tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, 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 amen. I thank and praise God for each one of you on our radio broadcast on tonight and everyone that's in radio land on tonight. I thank and praise God for you, you, and you. We're going to get started on tonight just talking a little bit about prayer. I don't really know where we stopped at. But because I've been studying and studying. So anyway, we're gonna start where with brokenness. I don't know if we was over that or not. Anyway, I'm not gonna waste any more time with it. When we talk about the power, the what prayer accomplishes on Monday, and how prayer produces power. And we're gonna talk a little bit about, well, we're just gonna talk about when you come in contact with God in your prayer time, the first thing you feel in your heart as you enter into his divine presence is realization of your sin. And I understand that, because the first thing I do when I come in his presence and I start praying, the first thing I do is ask God to forgive me for every known and unknown sin that I've committed against him, because I think repentance is good for the soul. If you truly, truly repent, it's just good for the soul. So that's what it makes. It comes to the realization of your sins, and no one can get that sense pride in the presence of the holy, holy God that we have. Once you sense your lack of natural qualifications to be in his holy presence, you would begin to confess. And believe me, you can confess your sins. But confession is good. I confess, because sometimes it be right there on my tongue, and I'll say it to the Lord in my prayer time. And if sometimes God will bring something, or I think of something, because when he forgives us, he put in the seal of forgiveness. But if something be on my mind, or I think about something, and I'll ask God to forgive me for that, just in case I didn't. However, you humble yourself before God at that time. This does not mean that you didn't belong before the throne of grace. It don't mean that. It means that you do belong there, because, and then you're repenting and you confessing and repenting. I'm telling you, it's a blessed thing to be able to confess and repent. I tell you, it's such a blessing. In fact, the clear access has been paid for each believer by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we got clear access to the throne room, you know, of our Heavenly Father, because Jesus died. Then you realize that you have no natural qualifications to even be there, and you meditate in that thing, and then you feel like you're broken. Sometimes I know I do. I was just trying to think of some things. I feel brokenness sometimes, and pride. And when you before God, that's how you feel. And you know, pride can't stand a chance before a holy God. Mm-mm, it's got to go. It don't exist. You got to get out the room. Mm-mm, don't have any room for pride in there. as you enter into the presence, you will be made aware of reactions, attitudes, and actions that you may have forgotten. Just like Peter could not bear to have Christ in his ship because of the recognition of his sin. You know, and I know and I understand a lot of times when we in prayer, if we don't ask God to forgive us, we feel some kind of way. You know, I know I try to ask him every time. No, it just come out every time because if we think we don't sin, we a lie. That's what the Bible says. And the truth not in us. Because we can think wrong. We can cuss or swear, whatever they call it, or anything when no one's around. But God is listening. The Holy Spirit is right there. So they know. No, you know, we may not know, but they know, so we have to repent. Mm-hmm. The very natural reactions to the presence is to desire to be forgiven for your sins. This is so true in my own experience. That's why I said, you know, you can't go long. You can't go long without, because I'm telling you, God is so good. He's just so good. He does things for us even when we're in our mess. He still do things for us. He still show us that he loves us. I tell you, God is good just like that. He's good, I'm telling you. And he is a great God. I love him so much. You know, there's just nothing. Nothing could come close to him. Nothing in my life. Nothing can touch God. Mm-mm. Because he's the reason why we breathe. He's the reason why we live, move, and have our being. He is the reason for everything in our lives. He's the reason why we see, we think, we feel, we smell, hear everything. And he is our source and our resource. If we're not connected to him, then we messed up. We got to be plugged into him. Hey. If you're not plugged into the Father, if you're not plugged into the Son, if you're not plugged into the Holy Ghost, something wrong. You messed up. You don't have no credentials. You don't have no insurance. You don't have anything. I'm telling you, you got to have that relationship with the Father. I'm telling you, I was just telling my daughter earlier, you know, even though I'm going through something and I'm up and down, in and out, I don't know what's going on, but I'm yet holding on to the Father, even though I'm going through stuff. I was prophesied and said some things was going to something. Anyway, I was sitting in the car today, and as I talk about the Word of God, if I read it, if I put my hand on the Bible, that anointing, that heat just come all the way down, mid-waist my waist, and sometimes it just come cover my head. I'm like, Lord, even when I just start talking about it, it comes. I'm like, okay, this is different. This is truly different, but it's God, and I'm just so grateful that he even think a little old me that ain't nobody, but he can think about sending his anointing to me. That matters to me. That really matters to me because he got so many others. That can do much more and much better than me. I ain't nobody outside of Christ. But I thank God that he loves me in spite of. That's my experience. And I've had so many, and I know we all have. But I'm telling you, I've had some mighty experiences with the Father and still having them. And then we have to enter into our prayer time. And when you go into that prayer time, you know the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is going to meet you right in there, wherever you're at, bathroom, closet, room, car, wherever. The Holy Spirit, he'll meet you right there. And that's when you ask for forgiveness. You know, the first thing you do, you can meditate and sit there for a minute or however long you want to meditate, then you need to go to God and confess and repent. That's what I do. Even when I'm not in the room, wherever I'm praying at, I could be on the pulpit. I'm going to ask for forgiveness before I spurt out any prayer. I'm going to ask God to forgive me because I'm not worthy to pray for nothing or nobody until I repent. And that's how I feel about it. So, and when we start doing that, when we have that desire to pray, see, we got to have a desire to pray. You know, because at one point in time, I was praying 8 to 10 hours in my prayer time. That has to be a desire, and it has to be a call of God, because people just don't pray 8 to 10 hours when they pray. But I, you know, and you know, you're doing all this other stuff in your life, but you spend that time in prayer. And I thank and praise God this evening. I just want to just share a testimony this evening, because before this evening, I was in pain. I was in pain, but I don't have one bit of pain right now, and I just thank and praise God. Y'all just don't know the pain I've been in. But I thank and praise God as I teach this, and I'm not painting anywhere. And I thank God for it. I thank God. So okay. We must know the importance of walking gently with the Holy Spirit too. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Living your life before the Holy Ghost, before the Holy Spirit, in a gentleness, you will become accustomed to the Lord's abiding presence, because the Holy Spirit he'll quicken you. You'll know when God wants you to go into prayer, or God is talking to you, or you in his presence. The Lord's continually abiding presence will bring about two most important changes. The first is brokenness, and the second is surrender. So many times you go before the Lord and you have so much on your heart and heavy burdens, everything, you go in there and you break down crying before the Lord. You just break down. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of the Lord. And you're in a state in a mind of surrender to my Father. You know, your hands up in the air, you're crying, or sometimes you just be on your face. You know, it's an awesome thing. That's, you know, I tell you, it really blesses me when I can go before the throne room of God and just get down on my knees and bow down before the Lord and cry out. Even when I'm in intercessory, I cry out for the people of God. I try to cry out for them, whatever it is that they need. And then God knows what they need. I just try to call their name out in prayer. It's when I say a gentleman and gentleness, when you go before the throne, it's like you careful. I'm careful what I do in my prayer room. I don't go in there with shoes on. I leave them out at the door. I don't do every little thing in there. Sometimes I take my phone in there just to keep up with the time. So if I have on my way to, you know, got to go, come out to go to work, I won't go over. But when I'm here all day, I don't, you know, when I'm not working, I don't take it in there because I don't care what time it is and how long I stay in there. But you have to be really careful and sensitive because the Holy Spirit won't come around. He won't be around that kind of stuff. You know, he won't be, the angels won't be around. They don't mess around like that. So you have to be really careful while you pray and how it's done. You know, it's really important. Amen. God has never chosen to use perfect people to accomplish his perfect will. You know, obviously, he have his choice, like Jacob and King David. And obviously, he chooses us, me and you. You out in radio land, because he's going to get whatever it is accomplished. He wants accomplished. He's going to get it accomplished. He used who he want to use, when he want to use, whoever he pleases. He'll get a drunk off the corner and clean him up and put his word in it. And they'll preach like John the Baptist. Like they drunk again, out in the, but they'll be drunk off the Holy Ghost. See, and his ways are so different from ours. His ways are not like our ways. We wouldn't go get no drunk off the street and bring him in the church and have him up in the pulpit and all this kind of stuff. Because we can't clean nobody up. We can witness and pray for them, but it takes the Lord to clean them. So we should always give in to the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us to lead and guide us into the ways that God would have us to go. We should always give in to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. The comforter can make you most uncomfortable if you're not willing to follow God's ways. He does the Holy Spirit. He does what God commands for us to do. He try to lead us in what God wants us to do. Have to be obedient. And that thing to keep us obedient is to keep us broken. Long as we're broken before the Lord, we're gonna be all right. We're going to be all right because we're going to be calling on this name because we need this and we need that, or we need a healing, or we need something. So we crying and we bowing before the Lord. And even to that, God is so good. Even when we think we don't deserve and all this, and God do it anyway. He look beyond our faults and see our needs, and he take care of our needs, because he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else. When I say that he's going to give us, we'll come right on along with it. See, and God, first of all, make us whole. And, you know, I was trying to study that a little bit. How we are whole, he make us whole, and then he'll break us. We'll be broken because he want us to stay. That was just like, was that Paul with that thorn in his flesh? And he didn't ask God three times to remove that thorn, and that thorn always kept him praying. Now, we don't know what his thorn was in the flesh, but we know he had one. you know, they was trying to say it was epilepsy and all kind of stuff. They don't really know, and we don't really know, but we know he had one. And every time he would almost get beside himself, that thing would come back. So he had to keep praying. He had to keep praying that thing away. And that's that brokenness. Because we don't want nothing to afflict us in no kind of way. Amen. It's like King David. You know, when the Lord chose David, he was whole within himself. He could have been a successful shepherd of his father's sheep. But the Lord had more for him to do. He was to be the next king of Israel. But David would be more than just a king. He would also be a prophet. His prophecies would be the clearest sign of the future work of the Messiah. David would be more than a prophet and a king. He would also be a priest. None had ever been able to enter into the presence of God in the tabernacle besides the high priest. Yet David was able to enter into the holy presence without dying. As prophet, priest, and king, David was a perfect type of Christ. Because, you know, in those days, When the priest went in, they would tie a rope on him just in case they had to pull him out. Because once you go in the presence, you hit the floor if it's too much. Even now, people say, oh, that's just fake, this and this and this. But if they would study the word of God, when you go in the presence of God, you're going to hit that floor. You're going to be drunk. You're going to, in the spirit, you're going to something. Amen. And I'm not going to go on about David too much because I want to get on and talk about, because I wanted to start tonight on prayer and the Holy Spirit. And I just jumped about 10 pages of my stuff, but it's okay. Now, this is an age of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples that it was imperative for him to go away so that the Holy Spirit would come. See, the Holy Spirit plays a very, very important role in prayer. Jesus told him it was imperative for him to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. At the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon and filled the 120 faithful who were waiting in Jerusalem. This was the fulfillment of the prophecy of John the Baptist. At the baptism of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was symbolized as a dove. The purpose for the dove being the symbol is due to the nature and the personality of the Holy Spirit. And when I was telling you, when I was in Marion, Illinois, and I was in our home, and I would pray, I would meditate, spend time with the Lord. Then when I would leave out, or when the next day or however, I would be gone and come home. But when it was time for me to pray, the Holy Ghost, the Lord, or whoever would send birds to peck on or scratch on the window in the prayer room. And at first I didn't know what it was until I started thinking. And then my then husband had told me some birds is messing with the window or scratching on the window. And the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me just like I'm speaking. It's time for you to pray. So anytime I heard that sound, I would go in that prayer room and pray. I sure would. And the Holy Spirit allowed things to happen like that. They'll get your attention. You may not, if you are paying attention on focus, believe me, God will get your attention. He'll send an angel. You probably won't never see the same one again, but he'll send an angel. Mm-hmm. Okay, and at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon and filled 120 faithful who were waiting in Jerusalem. This was the fulfillment of the prophecy of John the Baptist. At the baptism of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was symbolized as a dove. The purpose for the dove being the symbol is due to the nature and personality of the Holy Spirit. The dove is gentle, and that word gentle again, and so is the Holy Spirit. You only really get to know the nature of the Holy Spirit as you begin to fellowship with him, because people skip all over him, the Holy Spirit. And he's just gentle, and you, that's the way. You can't come to him all wild and all that kind of stuff. You have to be gentle, and he know your heart and spirit. So he's going to come right back at you, because believe me, if I could tell you some experiences I've had with the Holy Spirit, and then even when the time I was telling you, and I'm not trying to make everything about me, but when I was telling you, but I do want you to understand that God will come to you any kind of way he wants to. You know, I don't know how old I was, but he came to me in the middle of the night, you know, and showed me his glory. And when I told you before, it's like, I don't know how I could say he woke me up, but it's like he called me and woke me up. And I said, huh? And it looked like he was calling my name. And I didn't know it was the Lord at the time, but I realized it was him. And so we have to keep our mind in tune and focus with, it's so late and it's so close to the end time. God could come any kind of way he want to come now. Seriously, he could come some different ways. You know, so I feel like God come those different ways. We have to be prepared, and we have to be ready for it. We have to be ready for it. That's all. The dove has a gentle a nature, just like the Holy Spirit. You only really get to know the nature of the Holy Spirit as you begin the fellowship with him. In the Old Testament, we don't see the Holy Spirit as a distinctive personality. In the New Testament, he speaks of Christ that one may miss the rich nature that is true of the third member of the Trinity. How do we get to know the Holy Spirit? We only become aware of his nature as we enter into a life of prayer. Absolutely. Because when you praying all the time, you're going to feel him. You're going to feel him. Of all the Gospels, the Gospel according to John has the most references to the Holy Spirit. In the 14th chapter, he is called the Spirit of Truth and the Comforter. He is the Spirit of Truth, and in that, he can take the words of Christ and reveal the depth of the meaning that the words contain. He is the Comforter in that he will bring into our hearts a peace that the world cannot give. The world only knows peace through the concession of hostility. The Holy Spirit brings peace in any circumstances. Therefore, as we learn to walk in the Holy Spirit, we learn to walk in truth and peace. If we don't have truth at work in our lives, if we don't walk in the peace of God, we are most likely not walking in the Holy Spirit. You have to. You have to walk in the Holy Spirit. You know, because my thing is, when you start that prayer life, see, people are not going to understand you, and you're not going to even care. But you have to walk. You have to, and once you start your prayer life, you're going to know that's the Holy Spirit speaking with you, talking, leading you, telling you which way to go and what to do, because the enemy not going to tell you to do nothing for God. He's not going to tell you to do nothing right. Everything's going to be crazy. When you start getting crazy thoughts, just know it's just the enemy. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is going to tell you to do what's right. That's, you know, otherwise, prayer opens the door for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can bless you when you read the scriptures. Because I know, you know, I got up this morning and I just went before his presence and praised it just a little bit. And I got in my word early. And all the time, I could feel the heat. I could just feel the heat. So, you know, I know when the anointing is on me. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit can direct you as you witness for Christ. The Holy Spirit can anoint you as you preach and teach the word of God. I know he can because, like I was telling my daughter earlier, my arm had been hurting and hurting and hurting. Ain't hurting now. It's not hurting. Don't you know I thank and praise God? It is not hurting right now. But what I thank God for, because it's a relief. I'm still with the sweat and stuff, but my arm's not hurting. I thank God for that. The Holy Spirit can anoint you to preach and teach the word of God, but if you want to have an intimate communion with the Holy Spirit, you need to pray. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And you can't get around it. The fellowship with the Holy Spirit has brought us into every major change in ministry. The development of the cell system came out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit in prayer. Now, the cell system, what I mean by that, you get little groups and pray, or you get a prayer partner, or little groups. Like that. That's a cell system. The Holy Spirit is, I'm telling you, in every major principle that we teach, when we teach, even out of the books, even out of the books, you need an intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you're teaching, what you're doing when it's relating to God's word. In order to be effective, you need a relationship, an intimate relationship with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. Even in my personal life, fellowship with the Holy Spirit has made all the difference in the world. I'm telling you, I could not live without the sweet communion with his presence that I have become a familiar. I become so familiar with him. In the morning, you can sense his freshness come over us, come over my heart. And he strengthens us. He gives us strength to go through a lot of things we do. And when, you know, we want to go right, he'll say, no, you go this way. You know, I thank God. Y'all just don't know. I thank God, and I thank God for this opportunity to teach, because it lets me know that God is still in control. You know, it lets me know that, like I said, I was hurting real bad before, but I'm not now. And you know, there have to be the Holy Ghost. There have to be the Holy Spirit. There have to be the anointing of God. There have to be, because I'm in His presence right now. And that, and you know, sickness have to go. Can't stay. Can't stay when you're in the presence of the Lord. It can't stay. And I can still feel the heat on my head. So that's the anointing of God. So I know that we're in His presence right now. And I thank and praise God. And anything the Lord give me to do, I don't care what the devil try to make me feel like, my arm, however, whatever he's saying, it's not going to work. It won't work. It won't work. It won't stand. Okay, baby. And so we have to keep in the presence of the Holy Spirit and talk to Him. Y'all talk to Him. Talk to Him just like you talk to Jesus. Talk to Him like you talk to me. But you know, you have to talk to Him like you talk to the Father, to Jesus. You have to talk to the Holy Spirit. He hears you. He hear, and believe me, He will touch you, baby. I'm telling you, He will touch you. You will know that the Holy Spirit is present. You will know that. He'll let you know, honey, because He used to rock me back and forth in a chair. And when it first happened, I was scared to life. I don't say scared to death, but scared to life. And so every time I would go in, I can't wait to get home, to go in at my prayer room when we lived in Marion. And every time He would rock me back and forth, I would. That's when I was singing in tongues and all that. And God is good. He's good just like that. Mm-hmm. I've also discovered that I'm not smart enough to solve the thousands of problems that come to me regularly, because it's a lot of problems. I've been praying for a lot of people. Yet, I can just say to the Holy Spirit, Sweet Spirit, please let me tell you about the problems I have. I know you know the mind of God, and you already have the answer with assurance. I then wait the answer from the Holy Spirit, and He will answer. So y'all know I be calling on the Lord, honey, all kind of different ways I be calling on Him. And discovering throughout these many years that the Holy Spirit renews me spiritually, mentally, and physically, I have seen that daily communion with the Holy Spirit is a necessity. Out of the 1 hour that I spend in prayer every morning, much of that time is spent in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So you could give God an hour. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. When I do that, I just feel like I haven't done enough when I do that. But, you know, if you could start off with 15 minutes, just start off with 15 minutes. If you start off with 15 minutes a day, just 15 minutes in the morning or whenever time you can get, and start off with them 15 minutes, I bet you, so you know it, it'd be a half hour. You ain't got to talk loud. You ain't got to pray loud, nothing. 15 minutes. And before you know it, it'll be a half an hour. Next thing you know, it'll be an hour. Because He's going to make you want to come back. You're going to desire to come back every time, because it's going to be something different that He does every time. Going to make you feel, going to show you this, going to show you that. This, it was Saturday, I think. I went to sleep. I don't know when it was. Friday, stairs on the couch. I stepped down there all night. The Spirit of the Lord showed me the sliding glass doors off the back of the patio. I said, I wonder what He was showing me that for. So I got up and I looked around. I said, somebody moved a stick from behind me. You know, to block the door. So when Ed called, I said, honey, what you do with the stick? that locks that door, because, you know, anybody could probably get that in, get in, because that stick went down there. But the Spirit of the Lord let me know it was gone. He showed me those doors, and it said he had set it up somewhere. But God won't let nothing slip up on you. The Holy Ghost won't. He won't let nothing slip up on you at all. Believe it. So once you, because you can tell a person's spirit when you're dealing with the Holy Spirit, when he'll let you know, he'll let you discern so good. He'll let you discern. And that is a blessing that he's letting you discern like that. That's a blessing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just thank and praise God. It's going to get much better, because once we finish this, we're going to go into the prophetic part of prayer, intercessory prayer, and we all are intercessors. Each time God gives me something fresh and new from the Word, I know that it comes from the Spirit of truth who dwells within me. Just as the Holy Spirit causes Mary to conceive, so the Holy Spirit can impregnate us with the living Word. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. This is why so many thousands of people line up in front of our church on Sundays, and that's not me, but that's churches everywhere. On Sundays, for each one of our seven services, or several services around the country, people line up in these big mega churches trying to get in there. And when the truth is preached, they're going to come. If you just preach and teach the truth, don't sugarcoat nothing, because so many of these pastors these days, these leaders, the Lord's finna put a lock on the door. He finna shut them down, I'm telling you. He finna shut them down, because time winding up. We don't have all that time anymore like we used to. Time is winding up. So that he got to get his people gathered together. He's going to get them right. He's going to get some preachers, ministers, whatever, pastors in these pulpits that's too teaching truth. Mm-hmm. But each time God gives me something fresh, each time I can tell somebody something, you know, that God has told me or relayed to me, I feel such blessing. I feel blessed in order, you know, to be able to pass it on. And sometimes he don't want me to say nothing, but sometimes he tell me to say something. Give it to him. Give him that word, and I give it to him too. So I thank and praise God. That's the Holy Spirit in prayer. The Holy Spirit not only anoints us to minister the word of God with power and authority, but he also protects us from the attacks of Satan. You know, even pastoring and teaching and preaching on this radio broadcast, you know, you still get the attacks that come from the world, you know, and from the enemy and from the world, because, you know, you got so many, it's so many things going on. You know, they're trying to get the people in everywhere to let, you know, gay people use whatever bathroom they want. Just all kind of stuff going on now. And then, I mean, it's the world stuff, and that's why I don't like even looking at the news too much or hearing a whole lot of stuff like that, because you'll get tied up, tangled up in what's going on out in the world. Because the Bible said, in times, perilous times will come. You know, hard times, bad things will happen. You know, in the last days. In the last days, it's going all kind of stuff. You really have to watch yourself now, especially if it got warm. They're killing folks left and right. Yes, they are. But we have to keep right on with our mind focused on the Lord, staying in His presence, prayerful at all times. If you're on the bus, you pray. You're on the train, you pray. You're in your car, you pray. You pray all the time. Lord, cover me. Holy Ghost, cover me. However, Lord, dispatch your angels around me. Just, you have to keep praying. You can't stop. Cannot stop. You know, in these churches, I can remember back in Maryville where they killed, walked in the church and killed a pastor and stuff like that. The enemy send them use anybody he can to hurt you, especially when you preaching and teaching the truth. He don't want you doing that. He don't want you doing that. So you have to be careful because each one of us has an anointing. And when you praying and in prayer a lot, and you praying a lot, you can go out to the store and people be looking at you all frowned up and stuff, and you won't even know why. Because they see that prayer mantle hanging on you. They see that anointing hanging on you, and they don't like it. I remember when I went to Kroger one day, I had been fasting and stuff and praying and went to Kroger, and I got ready. The lady was getting ready to bag out, and she just sit there. And I sit there for about 5 or 7 minutes. I said, this lady ain't coming out. When I got around, there's a white lady, got right on the other side. She started laughing at me. And I just went on and parked. She just laughed, and then she pulled out. Because the enemy don't want you doing nothing for Christ. He want to discourage you from everything. He want to just discourage you. And you have to pray your way right on through that stuff, bind that enemy up, and pray your way right on through it. You know, we can't let them stop us. We got to get what God has called us to, a great work, and we got to get it done. Mm-hmm. We got to stay busy for the Lord. We got to get it done. So we're going to stop right here. I'm not going to go on any further. You know, we'll be right back here tomorrow night for our praise, our prayer, and prophecy hour on tomorrow night. And we're just looking for you all to be on and everything. On the radio broadcast and stuff, and we're going to have prayer requests and everything. So God bless you all. Thank you all in radio land for being with us on tonight, and you on the radio broadcast. God bless you as well. Father, we just thank you now. We ask you now to cover each one of them in the shed blood of Jesus and their families, and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. You all have a blessed rest of the evening. Good night. I love you all in the Lord. I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Good night. God bless you.